And welcome back to Our American Queen.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Erin.
And this week we are joined by yet another guest, our friend Elena, who is also a huge Swiftie and one of our friends probably the second biggest Swiftie that we know.
Yeah, probably. And this week we're going to be talking about our initial reactions to Taylor's new album, Evermore.
Yes. So we will be talking about our initial reaction to the album, our favorite lyrics, our favorite songs, just all that good stuff. So yeah,
let's get into it. Okay. So who wants to start with their first initial thoughts about Evermore and the first night it came out? What did you think?
Elena, why don't you go first? Our guest.
So when I first heard Evermore, I didn't really know where she was gonna go with it, but I liked it at first. It wasn't my favorite, but it definitely started to grow on me as I like listened to it like hundreds of times. It definitely started to definitely progress as I listened to it. I really liked the first half of the album at first and like really wasn't a fan of the second half, and then that part had to grow on me a little bit longer.
Yeah, I had a very similar reaction when I first heard it. I wasn't in love with it, but I knew that it was going to be one of those things that like as I listened to it more I would start to enjoy it more. But yeah, I wasn't like immediately in love with anything except for Gold Rush. The first time I heard that song I was obsessed.
Yeah, for me Willow was the first song that we heard because we watched the music video first and then we listened to the album. So once I heard Willow I was like, oh, I literally love this song so much. It reminds me a lot of Cardigan, which is like in my top three of Folklore. So I really liked Willow. And then I think for me, the opposite of Elena, like the first half of the album I wasn't in love with, but then as it kept going, I liked it more. So yeah.
But you really didn't like it.
At first I was a little like underwhelmed because I am dramatic like that when I first listen to an album and I get disappointed, but as Elena said, like as I've been listening to it more and more, it's growing on me so much. And that's just a thing about Taylor, is that some of her stuff sticks like right away, and then other stuff you really have to like listen to appreciate, and it grows on you. So
yeah. And the day, I guess it was technically the day that it came out, but came out at midnight, so the next day Emmy and I took a long car ride listening to it, and it really heightened
it. The vibes were really good, so
it was very foggy, and I feel like it was a good mood for the album.
Yeah.
And then Emmy was like, you know what, actually I think I really like this album.
Okay, I just need to be set.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
That's sometimes what you need to do with Taylor's albums. I remember when Folklore came out, I was like, I love this, but imagine how much it's going to be heightened in the fall when it's like cold out.
But then now in an interview from yesterday, Taylor said that she sees Folklore as spring and summer.
That's interesting.
But I see it as fall.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I think Emmy and I are in agreement with the fact that we think Folklore is like summer, fall, and then Evermore is like winter, spring.
Yeah,
I don't know
what that your fits thoughts a lot are more for me, but you know that, Taylor Elena doesn't think it.
Yeah, I mean when she said that I was a little thrown off, but like I guess it makes sense with some, like songs like August.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like that's definitely really summery. You're Betty is definitely like a summery song, so like I could see where she like could like get that vibe, but I definitely think Evermore is very like winter. That's just the vibes I get from that.
Oh yeah. When it was snowing the other day, oh my gosh, I was doing the dishes and I was playing Willow and it felt so amazing. I was like, wow, this is the vibe for this.
Just the damn season in the snow. That's another good one.
Yes.
Yes. That one is so good.
All right. Speaking of specific song titles, let us go around and talk about our, let's say, 4 to 5 immediate favorites off of Evermore. It's way too soon to rank the album. It needs time to set, but I think that we can kind of pinpoint a few songs that we like the best. So, Emmy, why don't you start?
Cool. So, as I said, immediately I was in love with Willow. Just I think the part that I love the most is when she says, "That's my man."
I like that
part. Like, I love that part so much. And I just love the beat and the music of it. And then another immediate favorite was Long Story Short.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was upbeat and it stood out from the rest of them because a lot of them are slower songs. And then the same could be said about Gold Rush for me. And Erin can talk extensively about Gold Rush because she loves it. But probably my favorite song in terms of lyrics is Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's a kind one.
The fact that Taylor literally wrote that last week, I can't deal with. And then my fifth is, like, I'm kind of in between Dorothea or 'Tis the Damn Season. I'm not really sure yet, but I'm kind of like teetering between those two.
Good choices. I approve.
thank you.
So I would say my five favorites. Immediately, like I mentioned earlier, Gold Rush, absolute favorite on the album. The first time we listened to it, I was like, okay, this is good. I already know this is going to be my favorite. I love that song so much. To me, it has a very similar quality to Getaway Car, in the sense that it just, like, the song itself kind of evokes, like, an emotion that you can't really name, but it's just there. I don't know. It reminds me a lot of Getaway Car. It
reminds me of Gorgeous, too. Like, I've seen people say it's, yeah, like, more mature, Gorgeous.
I would say the lyrics remind me of Gorgeous, and then just, like, the mood and the, I guess, vibe of Gold Rush is similar.
Vibe is the word of the day.
Similar to Getaway Car. Then I really love 'Tis the Damn Season. We started listening to it and I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure this song is, like, about someone who's home for winter break and they're, like, hooking up with someone from their hometown. And Emmy's like, yeah, that's what it is. I was like, I like that. I like that. Then my other one is Dorothea. I really like that song. I'll talk about the lyrics I like later, but I really like Dorothea. Long Story Short is another one that's in my top five. And then the fifth one is Evermore, the title track. I think that song is absolutely stunning. The first time I listened to it was, well, you know, it's the last song on the album. And we did listen to it the night it came out. So it was getting kind of late and I was really tired. And that song kind of wanted to, like, put me to bed. But then when I was actually awake and listened to it, I was like, wow, this song is stunning.
Yeah. And a reason why we wanted to bring Elena in is because obviously Erin and I are sisters. We have very, very similar taste in Taylor's songs and it can kind of become an echo chamber. So we were like, let's bring in Elena just to get an outside perspective. And yeah.
Also, we love Elena. So of course. Brought her in for that reason too.
Yes.
Well, thank you for having me here. So my number one song, very different than you guys, is Champagne Problems. Mm-hmm. When I first looked at the track, that one stuck out to me the most. You know, it was going to be one of my favorites on the album. I just really like the lyrics of it. I like the way that it sounds. I think it's just really emotional. I love that one so much. Mm-hmm. My number two is 'Tis the Damn Season. That's a great song.
It is. I agree.
It's just... very well put together. My third is Gold Rush. I think that song is so pretty. I just really like that one. And then my fourth is No Body, No Crime, which you guys didn't say, and I'm surprised.
Yeah.
So I need your opinions on that. So I just thought that one was really good. And my number five is Tolerate It.
Okay. Ooh. Wow. So we have quite different top fives. That's exciting and very fun.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people don't like Dorothea.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Dorothea, Elena?
When I first heard Dorothea, it didn't really stick out to me as much as the other songs. I loved the whole album. There's not one song like I don't like, but it just wasn't something that really stuck out to me. I think it's really pretty, but it was just not one of my top ones.
Yeah. I really like the lyric in that song, if you're ever tired of being known for who you know you'll always know me. I think that's such a sweet lyric.
Yeah,
I love it so much.
want to get into No Body, No Crime.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, I do like that lyric too.
No Body, No Crime yes. is like right song. Yeah, I think it's like right below like my top five, like if mm-hmm. I had to say it would be like six or seven.
Yeah, it's definitely up there for me too. It's very fun and it reminds me a lot, and I've seen a lot of people saying this, but the first time I heard it I was like, wow, this sounds a lot like Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. Yeah. Which mm-hmm. is fun. Yeah, it's totally different from anything Taylor's ever done, which is exciting, and it's, you know, like a true crime story, and it took me a while, I'm a little ashamed to admit, to figure out what was happening. But once I figured out what was happening in the song, I was like, oh, okay, Taylor's a murderer. All right. It's very fun. Yeah,
I thought it was well, like, written, well put together, the way that she did it. She just keeps you, like, wondering the whole time. So it was really, I thought it was, like, something just so different than what she's done. And I love, like, true crime. So it was right up my alley.
It was very fun. Oh, I have an interesting thing to say about this song. I am confused. Maybe we can figure this out right now. The thing that confuses me about that song is why the narrator would kill Estee's husband, because they're friends, but they go out to dinner like once a week and there's never like an explanation of how close they are. And like, to kill someone for your friend is, I don't know. It's interesting. What do you think, Alina?
I feel like she's just probably like a crazy bitch. You know what I mean? Like, she's probably just like wanted to.
I kind of
like,
love that.
Like she's one of those like people that's like probably like in her 30s that just like goes out for wine and all this stuff and just like thinks she's like really high class, and like then her friend is like, and she just like wants to help out her friend, so she's like, ooh, like the tea, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, she just like lives for the drama. I feel like she just lives for the drama and just like, you know, I'm gonna kill this guy.
I kind of love that explanation. Is it like Inez all grown up or something?
Oh my god, Inez.
You heard the rumors from Inez. You can't trust a word she says. Yeah, I actually love that explanation. Thank you, Alina.
Thank you, Alina.
Our Taylor guru over here.
You're welcome.
Let's see. So we had Gold Rush in common between all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then was that the only song all three of us had?
I think so, yeah.
It's a good song.
Gold Rush is just such a good song.
Tis the Damn Season.
Oh yeah, Tis the Damn Season. Yeah. But mine is,
you didn't have,
I'm like teetering between. List. Yeah. Yeah, Gold Rush, the first time I heard it, it's just like a classic Taylor song.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like really poppy and fun. I like the lyrics a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tis the Damn Season, I feel like, I know Emmy showed me a TikTok where it was relating Tis the Damn Season to Gilmore Girls and Jess and Rory, which I kind of liked.
Yeah, and it's really funny too because in the YouTube chat before the Willow video came out, somebody asked Taylor what TV shows she's been watching in quarantine. And I have to imagine she answered the question because it relates to the album in some way, and she said she's been binging The Office, which I'm like, I don't think that relates to any of the songs.
Maybe.
But she also has been watching Dawson's Creek, which we both watched in quarantine as well, and Tis the Damn Season I feel like could relate to Dawson and Joey.
Definitely. I said that. I really think it has a lot of Dawson's Creek vibes.
Yeah,
because Dawson and Joey are from the same small town, and Dawson, after high school, goes and moves to LA to become a director, and then Joey doesn't stay in their hometown, but she goes to college close by, and then there was an episode where they were home for the holidays. They didn't get together at that point, but
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like it could have inspiration from Dawson's Creek. We were trying to like listen to the album and try to find whether there is Pacey Joey inspiration, because they're Pacey our favorite couple
Pacey
on
is the
show.
Best TV character of all time.
But I don't know if any of the songs are Pacey Joey related. We'll have to keep listening.
Yeah. But anyways. But yeah, honestly, Tis the Damn Season could be about Jess and Rory. I could see it.
Yeah, I don't know if she would like intentionally make it about them,
but I mean, think, just like relating to
yeah
that.
It could just relate to that. Okay. So do we want to go just through the album now? Yeah, and just talk about each song and
sure.
for a little bit. Okay. So I guess we will
start. Yeah, we'll go through like what our predictions were and like what we actually thought of the song. So I forget, what did we think about Willow? I think we said it would be like Cardigan.
I think so, yeah.
And it is.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to Cardigan. And then, of course, the video was a continuation of the Cardigan video. And I didn't fully understand the video, or I don't fully understand the song either.
The guy who was in the video was so cute and sweet. He did, like, the cutest Instagram. He was like, I love you, Taylor, because he was from the Red Tour. He was a dancer on the Red Tour. And he was, like, so sweet. Right. He's like, I love you, Taylor. You're so sweet for letting me be in the video. I was like, aw.
Does anybody have any explanation for Willow?
I've seen, like, side-by-sides that it was mirroring the Love Story video.
Okay.
Where she was in the glass wearing the big dress or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, Alina?
Mm-hmm. I liked how it was a continuation of Cardigan. I kind of like how she uses that, like, little invisible string, too. I think that's really cute.
Ooh, yeah.
But I feel like it just mirrors her relationship with Joe somehow. Like, at least Willow does. And so that's kind of where I took it. I saw something which I don't think this is true, but that Willow is Joe and Taylor's wedding vows, which I thought was so weird. But I saw, like, multiple videos talking about that, and adaptation, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't take it that way. I almost kind of took it as, like Emmy was saying, sort of like a parallel to Love Story. Because as I was listening mm-hmm. to the lyrics, I was like, is this sort of about a forbidden romance? Like, I don't really know. It's because I forget which lyric it is, but it kind of made me think it might be about someone, or at least two people who, like, one is kind of, like, richer and has a family who has, like, expectations, and then the other is, like, not in that same spot, and they're, like, not meant to be together, but they still are together. I don't know.
Well, in the Apple Music interview that came out last night, she said the first time she heard the backtrack that Aaron did, she thought it just sounded very, like, witchy, and that was the vibe that she got from it. And then she said it was like standing over a love potion and then dreaming up how to get the person that you want into your life. And then she said it's about the complexity of wanting someone and trying to get them into your life. It's about fate and magic, which I like.
Interesting.
That's interesting.
My favorite line from Willow, of course, is that's my man. But of course, I also like, show me the places where the others gave you scars. Mm-hmm. I love the way she sings that.
Yeah, for me, I like the song Willow. I think what stops me from loving it, and I believe I said this in our episode about Folklore too, is I personally do not really enjoy breathy singing from anyone. And Taylor does tend to get a little bit breathy in Willow. And I just, that's personal taste. For me, I just don't really like that kind of singing, but I do like the song. But that's probably what stops me from loving it.
Yeah, I like the part in the video also where they're all wearing, like, the big robes or whatever, because it reminds me of the Reputation tour.
Yes, definitely.
So, yeah.
Okay. So next up, we have Champagne Problems. Alina, take it away.
I love this song. I don't know what I was expecting when I first heard it, but once I heard it, it really gives me, like, New Year's Day vibe. This, like a girl getting proposed to and then rejecting him, and it going back to, like, Champagne Problems, which has so many different meanings throughout the song, I feel like. It's just mm-hmm. so interesting. And I really like the line where she's just, like, and they think she's fucked in the head. I just think that's just, it's just so, like, raw. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you make of the bridge of Champagne Problems?
It's, like, a little chaotic because it's so long, and I feel like, but I don't know. I just feel like she builds on it so well, and I really like that. Like, she mm-hmm. just keeps building it, so she's just, like, and then she's fucked in the head, and I was just like, oh, my God. It's a whirlwind of emotions.
It is. Yeah, I think for me with that song, and I think Emmy feels kind of similarly, I do like the concept and I think it's interesting. But for me, I think a lot, or I guess not a lot, all of Taylor's songs for me are very accessible, and like you can hear like the emotion in her voice and you can kind of understand exactly what's happening, and it's like you can kind of relate to it. That song to me just feels very different from anything she's ever written, and I feel like the lyrics in it for me personally are a little bit more inaccessible, and they're kind of like she uses a lot of like really big words, and like the way she phrases stuff is very different from anything she's ever done. And I don't know, for me, I think that's what makes me not really like it that much. What do you, is that kind of similar to you?
I think my thing about this song comes from the fact that when we first saw the track list, we predicted that it would be like a party anthem and like a bop. And it was definitely the opposite of that. yeah, I kind of agree with that. It just seemed, I can't really relate to it, but yeah, that's just like my own thing. I mean, I like it, I'll listen mm-hmm. to it, but it's definitely not my favorite.
Yeah, and for me, the bridge in particular, I don't like, which I feel like is very, is a hot take, but again, it's very, like, the lyrics are so different than anything she's ever done, and they just, I don't know.
But watch in a month, it'll be like your favorite
song.
Yeah,
probably.
I feel like it is so different. That's why I feel like I liked it so much. Yeah. I like the way that she progresses throughout, like how she starts by just saying, like, I dropped your hand while dancing, left you out there standing. And then at the end of the song, she goes and she's like, hold your hand while dancing, never leave you standing. I just like the way that she progresses that throughout the song. I just,
mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, I respect your opinion.
Me too.
Okay. So next up is Gold Rush. I feel like we've talked a decent amount about yeah. that and how much, at least I love it a lot. I've already played it so much since the album came out. I think I have the lyrics pretty much down. And again, I think part of why I like it so much is it's definitely one of those songs that's so fun to sing. I would put it on the same level as Death by a Thousand Cuts. And just, like, the challenge of getting all the words out. And once you do it, you're like, yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think we can probably move past that.
Well, yeah.
We talked a lot about
We predicted that it would be, like I said, when I think of Gold Rush, I think of the John Mayer song, Queen of California, and the Gold Rush in, like, the historical context. But I'm happy it wasn't like that. And it was, like, a fun song and not history.
Yeah. I think I expected Gold Rush to be kind of what Cowboy Like Me is, like
yes,
slow
yes,
sounding like that.
That's what I thought too.
And it is absolutely nothing like that. And I thought it would be about the actual Gold Rush.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, obviously. And it's, I mean, I think it's about Harry Styles. We're just going to put that out
oh,
there.
No.
Okay, I heard a lot of things about that. And like, the more I thought about it, the more sense.
It makes a lot of sense because.
Made. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's about someone who is, like, so famous, mm-hmm. and every girl wants him, and then the
right.
Gold Rush is everyone, like, running after him because they all want him so bad, but then Taylor's like, well, I don't want that. I don't want everyone to love him. I want him all to myself, and, like, this is never actually going to happen because I just can't deal with that, and I feel like that kind of is maybe what happened to their relationship. Like, she just didn't like dating someone that famous.
I could see that. But also, it could just be made up, like she said.
It could be, but I don't know.
Oh, did she say that in the interview?
She just said, like, everything is made up.
Yeah.
I don't fully believe that.
Yeah. I don't believe that.
She's so, like, a storyteller, and I feel like at least some of her experiences, whether she knows it or not, have to like bleed into her songwriting because that's what she's always done.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah
okay. I thought it could be about Harry Styles too, with the especially because he has a song named Golden, like, come on.
Yes, my favorite Harry song.
True. Or it could just be about, because she's had a lot of famous people that she's dated,
yeah.
so it could just be about all of them, like, she doesn't, and it could be about
yeah
with Joe and how he's not famous, and like, I don't want to date famous people anymore. I just want to date someone who keeps low profile. Definitely. It could be about all those things.
So we're all Rushies, like Jack Antonoff said.
Yes, I am a Rushie. Okay, so next up is is Tis the Damn Season, which again, I feel like we've covered that one. What was our prediction for that one?
We didn't know if it was going to be a Christmas song or not. That was, like, our main prediction.
Yeah, I think I predicted it wouldn't be, and then you mm-hmm. thought maybe it would be, I mean. But it's sort of, I mean, it takes place at Christmas.
It takes place, yeah, exactly.
Do we have any favorite lines from that song?
I really like the lyric that says, "The road not taken looks real good now."
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I really like that lyric, and it just, it really digs in.
It makes me want that, but I know that I shouldn't.
I like, and it always leads to you and our hometown.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite.
The way she sings
it's so good.
Such a good song.
I love it.
Okay, next up we have No Body, No Crime.
Our hometown is full of rednecks.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Yeah.
Very sad and very true. Now, No Body, No Crime, I think we thought, you said it was going to be about, like, a breakup.
Yeah, so I thought it would be about annoying men who are like, there's no body, so there was no crime. Like, sorry, I broke your heart, bye. That's what I thought.
Yeah. we both
I didn't know what to expect, honestly.
I think I thought it was going to be, like, a feminist anthem.
It kind of is, though.
I mean, mm-hmm. I guess, yeah. It's about having your friends' backs and killing people for them.
It's about killing off the patriarchy.
Oh my gosh.
I'd kill your cheating husband, so.
There we go.
I love it.
That's true love right there.
Yeah. I really like No Body, No Crime. It's very, very fun.
It is. And I love Haim on it. I wish they were involved a little bit more. Them. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the Olive Garden reference.
Yeah, I know. That one is great.
Did you see their TikTok?
Himes? No.
It was so cute. They were, like, sitting around a table, and the song was playing, and they had Olive Garden and wine. It was so adorable.
Oh, my God. That's really cute.
Yeah.
All right. Do we want to move on to Happiness? That's one we have not talked a lot about.
Oh, I love.
Really, really like Happiness. It's not in my top five, but it's, like, maybe number six.
Yeah. This one really is, this one is so good.
It really
made
hits.
Me cry.
It hits me for sure, yeah.
What's your favorite line, Emmy?
I love the bridge. I can't make it, what is it? I can't make you go
I
away.
I can't make it go away.
I can't make it go away by making you the villain. I guess that's the price I have to pay for 7 years of heaven. Oh my God. So good.
Yeah, and that is very interesting mm-hmm. that she wrote that lyric, because we on our podcast have talked a lot about how people always love to hate on Taylor for writing songs about the men she dated.
Yup.
And now I'm happy that we can have that lyric to point to and say, look, she has learned.
Exactly. And I mean, ever since songs like Style, she's taken responsibility for relationships going wrong. It's not like she always blames the her partner, and I do like that line because right. it does show her growth and maturity a lot, of her being like, I can't make it go away by making the villain and writing a song about you that's bad. Like, I know that I hurt you too. Like she said, oh my God, nobody teaches you mm-hmm. what to do when a good man hurts you and you know you've hurt them too. It's so good.
Yeah, this song I feel like is a personal song for her, and if she tries to pretend it's not, I won't believe her. My favorite lyrics in this, it's kind of a long chunk, but I like the lyrics, after giving you the best I had, tell me what to give after that. All you want from me now is the green light of forgiveness. You haven't met the new me yet, and I think she'll give you that. And I love that lyric a lot.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lyrics is that last part where she's just like, you haven't met the new me yet. I love that a lot.
Just the way that
interesting at the beginning, like the beginning part where she said, honey, when I'm above the trees, it really reminded me of Seven when she was like in the trees, hit my peak at 7 feet. I wonder if that like has any correlation.
Oh yeah, and then she says, "Is that happiness is when she says 7 years of heaven?"
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Well, she said in the Apple Music interview.
I feel like those are a little connected.
Yeah, she said in the Apple Music interview that she liked to put in outdoor references and forest references throughout because she was really inspired by the forest and the outdoors.
Happiness is such a beautiful song. I think for me, it reminds me a lot of 1989. And I feel like with slightly different production, it could have easily been on 1989.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of, Clean. I told Aaron it reminds me of a mix of Clean and, oh my God, what's the other song?
This Love,
yeah.
This album, weirdly enough, a lot of the songs on it, I feel like with different production, could have been on 1989. It reminds me a lot of it, which is weird because they don't sound anything alike.
No, I think it is interesting though, because when Folklore came out and now with Evermore coming out, I thought back to This Love and thought that This Love could have been on one of these albums and it would not have seen out of place.
That's true. I love This Love.
Such This Love is in my top 10. I love that song.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So next up is Dorothea.
Yep.
And we believe that Dorothea is from the perspective of the guy in 'Tis the Damn Season.
Yeah, I've seen that theory.
Didn't she even kind of say that, right?
I don't know, but I could definitely see that.
That's what I always thought, because it's like, you're a queen selling dreams, selling makeup and
that's my favorite line, I think. I love the way she sings that. It makes me so happy.
From you, I'd buy anything. I just think it's like the sweetest song. It's so cute.
I was telling Aaron, the first time I heard it, it really reminded me of a John Mayer song. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of songs, like, it reminded me of like Rosie or Dear Marie, and just the way she sings it reminded me a lot of John Mayer, which is funny because I feel like the song Cowboy Like Me, the guitars in that song are pure John Mayer, which is so weird, but yeah. I forget, what did we think Dorothea was going to be about? We thought it would be like Betty, right?
Yeah, I think with all the potential like female first names like Willow, Dorothea, Ivy, Marjorie, we thought maybe it would be like another love triangle situation, but it was not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Next up is Coney Island.
What do you think of this, Elena?
I did not like this song at first at all. And then once I listened to it a couple times, I really started to like it a lot. And I really like the National in it too. And then I looked up this song because I was curious what it was about. And I really think that it's just about all of her past relationships that haven't worked out. Because if you like place different lyrics, I don't know if you guys had like seen something like this, but like just mm-hmm. different lyrics, meaning all these different past songs and relationships just alluding back throughout her albums. I just think it's so like well put together, just like talking about all these past relationships in the past songs she's alluded to. I really like it now, but
yeah.
What do you guys think?
Emmy?
Yeah, I kind of came up with a theory the other day that it was like, you think about Coney Island and you think of all the people and the lights and everything and how full of life it is. And then she's sitting alone on a bench in Coney Island, which I believe it's like winter. So like nobody's around, everything is closed mm-hmm. down. And it's that juxtaposition. And then in the interview from last night, she actually did confirm that it is about that. It's about reflection, she said.
But I do think it is about of her. You talked to me about this. I kind of forget.
Yeah, it's like the happy birthday part is about
the
moment I knew.
The moment I knew.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And then like the accident is the snowmobile accident.
Right, with Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Her mind is very, very...
And then there's a part from a song, like, when she talks about, did I paint your bluest skies the darkest gray, and that's alluding to a song.
Dear John. Yeah.
Yes, that one, exactly.
So, genius.
And then you said it could be about how in all of her past relationships, like, the lyric, sorry for not making you my centerfold, like, she didn't know how to balance her career with these relationships, and like none of them worked out because of that. And now that she has Joe, she kind of knows how to do that more.
Her sitting on the bench in Coney Island to me is her, like, it's kind of like that's the privacy aspect of it, the relationship, whereas when the bright lights and everything was open was like the paparazzi, the fame, everything, but now she wants to be private. So and now that I have that context, the song is so much more heightened for me.
Me too. Once I like really understood her reflection and meaning behind it, I really just found a love for the song.
Yeah, I was like you, Elena, though, the first time I heard it, I didn't like it.
I liked it at first.
Yeah, you did like it at first. I still, it's probably going to be toward the bottom for me. Not that I don't like it, I just like the other ones better.
Yeah, me too.
I like the way she sings, like, where my baby go? It's so funny.
All right.
Oh, and we predicted, it was pretty much our prediction.
Well, I said it could be about a boy on the boardwalk, like, eating a snow cone or something, so I was way off.
Just some guy eating a churro on Coney Island.
I said it would be about, I literally was like, I'm at Coney Island, I'm missing you. That's, like, what I predicted, so.
I thought it would be a lot more upbeat than it is. Just because, I don't know, I was like,
I expected it to be a happy song.
Me too.
I expect it to just be like happy, like summer vibes, similar to like August or Betty or something like that, like something upbeat.
I really like their voices together as well as her and Bon Iver.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. I do, yeah.
She sounds really good with the very deep voices. Okay. Next up is Ivy. And Ivy, I think I've already said a few songs or maybe my number six, but I really like Ivy. It's definitely up there for me. I read a theory that Ivy could be about, or it's like two dead people and the husband killed the woman and then her, her lover, and they're dead and she's dead while she's singing it, which makes it like super spooky, but I kind of like it. I could see that. And then, My House of Stone, Your Ivy Grows, and Now I'm Covered could be like her gravestone.
Yeah.
Which is really spooky. But I think because at the end where there's like the fire, she's like, he's going to burn this house to the ground.
And then he did do it and then they died.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really dark.
It's really dark, but I kind of like it. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. I like it.
She said in the Apple Music interview that, because she's like, I have some words that I just really love and I just write them down like all the time to put into songs. And then Zane Lowe was like, oh, like what are some of them? And she's like, you know, I've always loved the word incandescent and I put it in Ivy just for fun. She's like, I love that word.
That's really funny. I like the lyric, my pain fits on the palm of your freezing hand.
I was literally, I had it pulled up to say the same thing because I love that lyric a lot.
And that, yeah. I saw the person was like, that could be a hint that they're dead because the hand is freezing, you know, because they're dead.
That's true.
My favorite lyric is, I wish to know the fatal flaw that makes you long to be magnificently cursed. Oh my God, the way she sings that.
This song, I think more than any of the other ones, I could totally see on Folklore. It reminds me a lot of Folklore. My favorite lyric, though, of the entire song is, I can't stop you putting roots in my dreamland. I think that is a very...
Is the dreamland where they went after they died?
Maybe. I don't know. Oh, and then we were listening to this yesterday, and the part where she says, clover blooms in the fields, spring breaks loose, the time is near, what would he do if he found us out? Crescent moon, coast is clear, spring breaks loose, but so does fear, he's gonna burn this house to the ground. That's like the part where I feel like it might be alluding to the fact that he did burn the house down. And it's like, what would he do if he found us out? I don't know. It's kind of spooky, but I like it.
The urgency in her voice during that part. Yes. I like.
Oh, yeah. So Tell Me to Run, So They Could Have Ran, or Dare to Sit and Watch What Will Become and Drink My Husband's Wine, which is what they did. They drank her husband's wine. I really like the way she sings, and you started it. I said this to Emmy. I don't know if she meant to sound this way, but to me, the way she sings it is very, like, flirty. She's like, and you started it. You started it. I don't know. Maybe it's supposed to be serious, but to me, I take it to be like, you started it. Like, I didn't start, you started it. But anyway, I really like Ivy. It's a very good, like, narrative song, I think.
Yeah.
So Jack only worked on Gold Rush and Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a theory that he only did those because he's working on Lana Del Rey's new album. And I was like, please let that be true.
Maybe. Okay. Are we good with Ivy? Everyone's thoughts?
Yes, I am.
Let's move on to Cowboy Like Me, which sadly is probably one of my least favorites on the album. Yeah.
Okay, I won't lie. Like, when I first heard it, it like was not my favorite. And then I listened to it, and one of my favorite lyrics from the album is on Cowboy Like Me.
Do tell.
I really like it. It's just really short, but I like when she says eyes full of stars, and the way that she says it, I really like it. I don't know, it just really stuck with me. And then I had it stuck in my head for like 4 days, just that lyric.
I just like
the way she sings.
Yeah. I like the music of Cowboy Like Me, and it's very chill and it's nice. I've seen a lot of people saying that it's like a romance song and these two swindlers end up together. That is not at all the way I interpreted it. And when I listened to it, I did not think it was a happy song. The way I thought it was that they're both these swindlers and they both have tricks up their sleeves. And she, Taylor singing, obviously not herself, but like the character, gets fooled by the guy, and then he didn't actually love her, and then they end up broken up is what I thought. But then I've seen a lot of people like, oh, it's such a sweet romantic song. I'm like, huh, I did not think that, but maybe.
Yeah, I could see it kind of going both ways. I wasn't really sure, honestly. It's very like mysterious almost. And I thought that it sounded a lot like Tim McGraw too.
Yeah.
First heard it, and then I saw people saying that because it has the same guitar riff, which you don't feel like those would like somehow connect, but then you like kind of think about it and they feel like they go together almost.
Yeah, that could be. Let's see.
All I think about that song is the fact, like I said, the guitar in it it's so John Mayer. That was all I could think about when I first heard it. I was like, that's literally John Mayer. And it makes me wish that he was a better person and he could have duetted on it.
Oh my God. I could see that.
Next up, we have Long Story Short, which was in both of our top fives. Any, do you want to begin?
That's my top six for sure.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I like it because it's kind of a reprieve from the slower songs. So the first time I heard it, I was like, ooh, like, let's go. Like, finally a bop. Like, yeah, I just love when she says, like, clung to the nearest lips. Long story short, it was the wrong guy. I was like, yes.
Yes.
I love,
and I saw something that I was, like, referring to, like, Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
When all that 2016 drama happened with, like, the whole, like, Kanye Kim crap.
Yep.
But, yeah, I don't know. I like that a lot. I like that lyric too.
Yeah, I think my favorite is the continuation in the beginning when she says, if the shoe fits, walk in it till your high heels break. And then at the end, if the shoe fits, walk in it everywhere you go. I just love that. I think it's so sweet.
Yeah, she said she's been wanting to do that lyric for a long time. If the shoe fits, walk in it. She said that was another one, like Meet Me Behind the Mall, that she's been saving for a long time.
Wow. And she said in the Jimmy Kimmel interview.
I love that she does that.
I know. She said, like, if the shoe fits in that interview. So I wonder if that's going to be the next single or if she's going to do a music video for that. I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that song is so cute, and I love when she says, I'm all about you.
Yeah, it reminds me also, like, Call It What You Want is my favorite Taylor song, and it reminds me of that in a way, too, because it's talking about the road leading to Joe, kind of, like, all the wrong things that happened that led her to him,
mm-hmm. which so I like. It kind of could be Invisible String, too.
It's, like, Invisible String, Call It What You Want, like, how in Call What You Want, she's, like, talking about the press and the media and the paparazzi and everything. And she's, like, I don't even care about it anymore. Like, all I care about is you. And it's kind of, like, long story short.
I could see it. I really like when she says, the line, at the golden gates they once held the keys to, when I dropped my sword, I threw it in the bushes and knocked on your door. And I feel like she refers to, like, two different songs, because in the golden gates, she refers back to Reputation, where she talks about, like, the golden keys and stuff like that. And then when she talks, I think it's in Daylight, where she's like, throw out our cloaks and daggers because it's morning now, and she like kind of refers to it here.
Yeah.
Like when she drops her sword kind of thing. I don't know.
Does she talk about that in Call It What You Want too? I brought a knife to a gunfight. I know that
she has a couple, like, she like talks about like swords, knives, and things like that, like all referring back to like that era.
Mm-hmm. I also thought of Cruel Summer with that lyric too, with like the gate to the garden or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She has a lot of like gate references, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She does. Taylor loves her gates.
And then there's a lyric about how she's like, I think I look better in the rear view or something like that.
I always felt I must look better
in the rear view.
Rear view, yeah.
I was like, wow. That's really self-reflective.
Yeah. It's really sad.
It's really sad.
And when she says rabbit hole, that reminded me.
Yeah.
When she said rabbit hole, that reminded me back to what's that song called?
Wonderland.
Yeah. Which is one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first time we listened to it, I was like, rabbit hole, Wonderland.
I know. That's one of my favorite songs from her. So yeah, that definitely reminded me of that.
Yes, I totally could see that. And we pretty much predicted that. I said it was going to be really sassy, like, long story short, like, blah, 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 blah. So it kind of is like that.
I said the title reminded me a lot of The Story of Us, which I guess the song could kind of be like that, in the sense that it's, like, telling the story of how they got to where they are.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Next chapter. Okay. So next up, we have Marjorie.
So sad.
That one's a heart wrencher.
Song is so sad. I literally cry. Thing about Marjorie that I just saw something on is that her grandmother, Marjorie, is singing in this song. Yes. You guys hear that?
Yes, I saw that right at the end because she was an opera singer.
Oh my God, that broke my heart. Yeah. That's insane.
I didn't realize. This really added to the song for me when I read this, that her grandmother passed away before Taylor ever, like, wrote a song, ever became famous at all. And that really added to the song for me, because I thought she at least was alive to see, like, the beginning of her career. But then I was like, no, she passed away before any of this happened.
Yeah. I think she was, like, 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really, really like this song, but it kind of goes in the same category for me as, like, Soon You'll Get Better, where I won't really listen to it casually just because it's too emotionally draining.
Yeah, and same with Epiphany for me.
Oh, yeah, Epiphany, too.
I feel like she always has one of those, like, on every album, she's got one of those, but...
Did you guys see, I just saw this, in the Wildest Dreams video... The chair that Taylor sits in at the movie set, it says Marjorie, and her hair and makeup is identical to her grandma.
Wow,
it was so crazy.
Yeah, I didn't see that. That's sweet.
So she's been planning this stuff for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure she's always wanted to write songs like this that are so, like, deeply personal to her, but she just hasn't really had an album where they would fit in. Like, she couldn't put anything like that on Reputation. And I mean, she put Soon You'll Get Better on Lover, but it does kind of stick out on Lover. And I think these two albums, they fit perfectly because they're already kind of, like, deeper and more meaningful.
Yep.
Yeah. I really like one of my favorite lyrics is weirdly from this song, but when she says long limbs and frozen swims, you'd always go past where our feet could touch.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I know. I just.
I like when she says Marjorie, like sign your name, Marjorie. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite sign part. Your name,
Marjorie. Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. So sad, but so good. Okay. And then are we ready to move on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So next up we have Closure, which I guess I can start. It is growing on me. What stops me from loving Closure is the music in the background. I just can't get into it. It's very chaotic. And I know it's supposed to be like that, but it kind of bothers me.
The more I listen to it, the more I love it. It's honestly getting up to like my top five at this point. Really? I don't know why, but I just love it. I love the way that she sings it. It's almost like a chant in a way, or she just keeps going like, yes, I got your letter, yes, I'm, like, I just love it.
This is not one of my favorite songs on the album. It is a little chaotic for me, and I feel like waiting for her to, like, kind of bring it that she never really brought it to. I don't, like, hate it at all, but it's just not one of my go-tos.
Yeah, I would say I feel the same way. I love the way she sings, yes, I got your letter, that part, though, because you can just hear her, like, kind of rolling her eyes, like, yes, yeah. I got your letter, yes, I'm doing better. But, yeah, the background music, mm-hmm. I don't know.
To me, it's like I just said, it's kind of, to me, it feels like she's saying the chant to make herself actually believe it, that it's closure, like, just saying it over and over again.
That's true, yeah.
Like, yes, I got your letter. Like, she's trying to convince herself that mm-hmm. it's over, and she just keeps saying it over and over, and I like that.
Or is she trying to convince the person she's singing to?
I don't know. I feel like she's trying to convince herself.
True.
One thing that's really funny, I honestly don't know if it's meant to be this way or not, but the background music for me, it sounds like a grocery store, like at the grocery store register when they scan your thing, it's like beep beep.
Oh my god.
That's what I always think of when I listen to it. I'm like, why are they at the grocery store?
It's definitely not supposed to.
It sounds so much like it though.
One of the lyrics from this song definitely stuck out to me, and when she was like, I'm fine with my spite and my tears, my beers and my candles, and I just felt like that was the most relatable I've ever heard.
It reminds me a lot.
One of her top relatable lines.
Yeah. It reminds me of Death by a Thousand Cuts. My spirit, my trust. My spirit,
yeah, I can see that.
My mind, you know the part, the bridge.
Yeah.
And then the day that Evermore came out, that's the line that Aaron Dessner tweeted too. So they must like it.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor loves her alcohol references these days.
Yes, she does.
Gotta love it. The last song, Evermore, featuring Bon Iver. Yes, that is in my top five. Like I said, I think the only reason it didn't stick out to me the first time I listened was because it was the last one and I was really tired. Because the next day when I listened to it, I was like, wow, this song is actually so stunning. Let's see. I think my favorite part of it is how she keeps saying, I had a feeling so peculiar that this pain would be forevermore. And then at the end, she says, I had a feeling so peculiar this pain wouldn't be forevermore. And I just love that so much.
Yeah, it reminds me of what Elena said mm-hmm. about champagne problems.
Yeah.
How she, like, switches, you know? Like, she says one thing, and then at the end of the song, she, like, reverses it.
I love the way she sings it, too. It's just so simple, but so beautiful. I think her voice sounds so good on it.
And Joe wrote the piano part, which is cool.
It is really pretty.
I like the part when Bon Iver comes in and the mm-hmm. piano gets like really chaotic kind of, and the music just kind of comes in.
It's really similar to Exile.
Yeah, I could see that.
I do like how
so similar to Exile when he, because like when it first started with the piano Exile playing, when he comes in, when Bon Iver comes in, in this song sounds very similar to the way that he kind of enters the song in Exile. They're not similar enough where I feel like it's just a repeat of the song, but like it's similar to like, you can see the parallels.
Yeah. I like how he used a different register of his voice though. Like how in Exile he's like super low and then this one he goes a lot higher, which I like.
I love the way she sings a chorus when she's like, and I was catching my breath, floors of a cabin creaking under my step. I couldn't be sure. I just think it's so pretty.
Yeah.
And I personally, when I heard it, thought it was about her whole situation in 2016 with Kanye and Kim, and just her like reflecting on that. And then like meeting Joe and how he helped her through that.
She said, again, referencing the Apple Music interview, she said in the Apple Music interview, it was half of 2016. She said it was half the 2016 craziness. And then also it was about the election. She said it was, she wrote it like right leading up to the election, and she felt like really uncertain about the trajectory of politics in the world. And she said it kind of mirrored how she felt in 2016 about how uncertain she felt about her career and just everything about that. And she said the song is about taking things day by day and looking for hope. So I really like that explanation.
She wrote that song in 2016?
No, she wrote it right to the lead up of the election when she didn't know what was going to happen.
Oh, this year.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, it makes sense because then she's like, when she says, hey, December, guess I'm feeling unmoored, can't remember what I used to fight for. That's interesting.
I pretty much figured it was about 2016, but it was nice to get her, like, confirmation.
Yeah, and I think this song also reminds me a lot of Call It What You Want. It's very, very similar themes, like, about Joe and about that time and how she was feeling and how he kind of helped her through it.
Yep.
And I just, Evermore is probably my favorite vocal performance of hers on the album. I think she sounds so beautiful.
I like it too as an ending. Well, we don't know what the ending's going to be because the bonus tracks are probably going to be like crazy, but
yeah.
I like it as an ending for the album too, because as a whole, the album is sad, but at the same time, it has a lot more hope than Folklore did. Because Hoax as an ending is so dark. But when you think about Evermore, like she said, it's ultimately about hope, which I really like. And that's what she's always done with her ending tracks. She always ends on like that light note of like New Year's Day, daylight, clean, you know, so.
Yeah, I saw something that said Folklore is sort of like looking, say like Folklore's a house, and you're kind of outside of the house and you're just like watching it. And then Evermore is you being inside the house, which I kind of liked that comparison because I do feel like this is a warmer album in a weird way. And it's very, I think the reason it took me a while to get into it is because there's so many lyrics and the songs are very, very complex. And it, like on first listen, you just can't possibly get everything, but as you listen to it more, I think it starts to like, you start to kind of piece together the meaning and it makes a lot more sense.
Right.
So would you say then, do we know if we prefer this album to Folklore, or if you feel like similarly, or the too soon to really say?
I think it's a little too soon to say, but right now more, but I feel like it's just a little too soon.
Yeah,
I think I'll probably end up liking Evermore more just because I think it feels more like Taylor in a way. Like Folklore is very different from anything she's done, and I like it a lot, obviously, but this one is still different but feels more like her. I don't know if that makes sense.
I think that Folklore was her trying to get the acclaim kind of and make a album. She said that it was free for her, but at the same time, and that she wasn't going through any checklist, but at the same time I do think that she was trying to make an album that would get nominated for album of the year at the Grammys, whereas Evermore to me feels more like really abandoning the checklist that she's done in the past and just doing whatever she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like, well, I guess Gold Rush and Long Story Short, but besides that, there's not any like radio friendly song really, and it's really just what she wanted to do. I think Folklore to me is more, as she likes to say, sonically cohesive, whereas Evermore is kind of more of that mishmash of like Lover or Red. Yeah, that's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of fits my prediction, because we predicted what TS9 would be, and I said it would be kind of a mishmash, like Lover, like all the songs are kind of all over the place. It's not exactly what I meant, because I kind of thought it would be like different genres of music sort of in one album, and it's sort of all similar sounding in a way, but it is more of a mishmash. But I like it a lot, and I'm very happy that we got it. I'm very excited for the bonus tracks. When are they coming out?
I think apparently the CDs are shipping on Friday, and then people are saying she'll probably put on Spotify on Friday. So, okay. Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm not ready.
No, I really hope that's not the case. I feel like she's trying to throw us off with that title. That's what I'll keep telling myself until we hear it.
It's time to go.
All right. Any last thoughts?
I think we said everything.
We really covered just about everything. All right.
Yeah. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. We would love if you gave us a review. That would really help us out for people to find our podcast. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram at Our American Queen Pod, on Twitter at Our American Queen Pod. Yeah, we hope you enjoyed the album. We hope you have a good day. And we will see you next week.
Yeah. Thank you.